What a great God we serve, amen. So good to us. I tell you, sometimes you feel so unworthy. So unworthy. But yet he loves us so much. I have been enjoying Leviticus so very much. It's like every Torah portion of Leviticus, I think about that guy on the boat that told me that statement about good luck, about, you know, teaching Leviticus. But the more we dig into Leviticus, it's like, man, are you kidding me? How we miss this? We've been doing the Torah portions for what, about 5-6 years now. And I can't wait to get back to Genesis all over again. Just from getting Leviticus of a deeper understanding of Leviticus this time around. You know, it's Pastor said, and I'm gonna say it, Pastor said, I'm gonna use it today, the Pastor said. This year was going to be different for us. 2022 was going to be different. And I'm telling you, after Leviticus Torah portion, he's not kidding. Listen, Pastor said, because somebody had to say it. We needed to hear that. And I'm so thankful that he said it, that this year is going to be a different year for us. Our feast days is going to be powerful. And it's coming into place. It's unfolding right before our eyes. It's unfolding right before our eyes. And that's how good he is to us. That's how good the Master Yehovah is to us. I'm so thankful. What an honor and a privilege to be in his house again, learning of his Torah. Listen, when you love this stuff, you can't get enough of it. You can't. And the more you yield to it, the more he reveals to you. The more you yield to it, the more he reveals it to you. And it's overwhelming sometimes. You think, well, you know, you like, you reached it, and then he boom. He shows you something else. Just little nuggets. But it blossoms like a flower. It blossoms like a flower. And I'm so thankful. I don't know how far we're going to get, but we're going somewhere this morning. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And our Torah teaching is understanding his likes and his dislikes. Understanding his likes and his dislikes. We're on Torah portion number 28, Metzorah, and it's Hebrew for one being disease. And the Torah is Leviticus 14:1 through 15:33, and the half Torah is 2 Kings 7:1 through 20. He said, go read 2 Kings 8. I hope you did. If you didn't, go read it. I'm going to tell you again. This pastor is going to tell you. Go read it. It's powerful. Listen, the prophet Elisha wasn't someone you wanted to play with. When they said the man of God, they met the man of God. When he said Yehovah said, Yehovah said. When he said Yehovah was going to do, Yehovah did. Elisha was a man. I'm telling you, just listen to 2 Kings last night and going back and reading again this morning and then reading 8, man, that Elisha. You didn't want to play with him at all. Because, listen, Yehovah took care of Elisha. He took care of Elisha. Let me just help you this morning. Yehovah takes care of you. You can be that Elisha. You just be obedient. You do what he says, when he says, how he says it. And you can be that man and woman of God. That whatever people say about you can't hurt you. Whatever the enemy tried to throw at you can't touch you. You got an Elisha in you. That song we just sang, that lion. We all got that lion in us. We just got to let it manifest. Sometimes we want to hold back. We shy. We don't want to make noise when it comes to this, to a certain extent. We make noise of a lot of other stuff. A lot. We quick to make noise about a lot of other stuff. But somehow we want to be a little, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, a little lamb, somebody, something that don't make a lot of noise. But listen, when it comes to this, let that lion rise up inside of you. Just like that song was powerful. That song was powerful. But yeah, go read 2 Kings chapter 8. Elisha was a man's man. He was a God's man. Elisha was, I loved it. I love 2 Kings 7, 6, starting with 6, 7, and 8 last night. We'll read the topics. When the Metzor leper heals, he or she is purified by the Kohen, the priest, with a special procedure involving two birds, spring water in an earthen vessel, a piece of cedar wood, a scarlet thread, and a bundle of hyssop. The interesting thing about the ritualistic cleansing and cure for Metzorah, the physical manifestation of a spiritual sickness. Spiritual manifestation. Listen, I'm going to read the verses that he didn't read about the cleansing of the house, because that's where it all starts. It's a spiritual manifestation. It's in here. So we got to deal with it. And what he says, how you deal with it, you bring it to the priest. You bring what's bothering you inside. You bring it to Yeshua, our high priest. Bring it to him. Let him show you how to deal with it. Let him tell you how to deal with it. Because he paid the price for us to deal with it. But before it manifests, deal with it here first. Don't let it manifest. Listen, when it gets here, I don't want to say it's too late, because it's not too late, because there's nothing too late with Yehovah. But in a sense, it's too late, because it done showed itself. If you get it here, before it gets here, you won't let it show itself. You won't act out. You won't lash out. You won't say something that you're going to regret when you deal with it here first. When it's here, then you got a problem. Then it's 10 times worse. But if you get it contained in that house when it first happens, because you feel it. You feel it. You feel it inside. Your set-apart spirit will let you know before it gets here. He's trying to get your attention way before it gets here. Or here. Just thinking about that nasty stuff. It's crazy. But the set-apart spirit will let you know, hey, deal with it here before it gets on the skin, before it comes out. But I want to read that, because that's so powerful about the cleansing of the house. Caused by an evil tongue. Is that it is the same ritual performed for the anointing the high priest before the intercessory work for his brothers in Israel begin. This teaches us that if we are to be true intercessors for one another, we can have no evil thoughts or even negativity leading to negative words against our fellow man. If we are to be an apt intercessor and priest in Messiah's kingdom, if we're going to be true intercessors for one another, we cannot have no evil thoughts or negativity about our brother or sister. And listen, your brother or sister extends this church. You know, the brother or sister don't agree with what you agree with. You know, the brother or sister that might not serve, that might not celebrate the same holidays you celebrate. The brother or sister that might not worship on Shabbat, still your brother and sister. That's still negativity that you, if we say something about them, that's in here. That we got to get cleansed with the house. That's in the house problem. It's right here. But when we start speaking it, it gets on here. Before you know it, we all saying it. All we need is one to start it. Just like you need one match to start a big old fire, one person to say one negative thing, and we all on board. So our brothers and sisters is not just in our faith temple ministries. We have a lot of brothers and sisters all over. The word is likened unto the seed, and life, and thus ritual impurity is also ingenerated through a seminal or other discharge in a man, i.e. the seed, and or other discharge of blood in a woman, the life necessitating purification through immersion in a mikvah. Words, they mess with me. Especially after you're in this Torah, where we're going to get down deep, and they got words that I was listening to YouTube videos for about 20 minutes trying to help me to remember to pronounce these words correctly. Because it's a struggle. But how many know Moshe struggled too? And Yehovah said, take Aaron, your brother, your nephew. Huh? I'm going to take Spider. All right, so here we go. Laws for cleansing houses. 1433, Leviticus 1433. We probably won't even get to this into the Torah portion, but I just wanted to read it because I read it this morning. I was like, man, should I read it or should I read it? But he dealt with me to read it. Because we got to deal with it. We got to get it right here first, like I said, before it comes out on your skin. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe and then to Aharon, saying, when you come into the land of Canaan, which I am giving you as a possession, and I put a plague of leprosy in the house, in the land of your possession, then shall the one who owns the house come and inform the priest, saying, it seems to me that there is some plague in the house. Who's saying this? The priest. It seems to me that there is some plague in your house. Listen, our high priest gonna let you know, it seems to me that there is some plague in your house. We got to deal with it. Just those passages that Brother Scott brought out to us on Wednesday night, how Yeshua said every time he healed the lepers, what he told them? Go show yourself to the priest. Why? Because it was a Torah command. You had to go show yourself to the priest. And here Yehovah is saying, the priest is telling you, it seems to me that there's some plague in the house. And the priest shall command, and they shall empty the house before the priest goes in to look at the plague, so that all that is in the house is not made unclean. And after that, the priest goes in to look at the house. We got to empty some stuff out of this house. But how you do that? You got to take good inventory. Listen, you know when your house is dirty. You don't need nobody to tell you. Physical house or spiritual. Both. You don't need someone to come say, hey, your house is dirty. How would that make you feel? If pastor walks in your house and say, man, this house is dirty. Physical house. How would that make you feel? When the priest had to do that, the priest had to tell him spiritually, listen, this house is dirty. Something's wrong with it. It's not right. Listen, when you got a dirty house, it even smells funky. It stinks. Think about it. Think about your spiritual house, how it smells to Yehovah. Is that the sweet fragrance he wants? No, that stuff stinks. He don't want that. But he's telling you. He says, bring it to your priest. Bring it to Yeshua. I thought about everything he was saying last night. Was just, you just meditate on stuff as he's speaking. You think about all the animals. All the animals that had to die every time they did something. They had to bring that offering. We have a struggle raising one animal in this where we live at. Some of us has 2-3 animals. I had one, and it was a struggle. Animal is work. Animal is work, taking care of an animal. I think I'd rather have 4 or 5 kids than one dog. I ain't lying. I'd rather have one. Because you know why? A dog can't bait himself. When the kids get to a certain age, they can bathe themselves. A dog, they can feed themselves, a kid. An animal is work, but I thought about that. But yet Yeshua came and paid that price to where I don't have to worry about sacrificing an animal these days. I don't have to worry about raising pigeons and doves and lambs. We really, really, this is what Leviticus is really bringing out. How we really, really need to give it a little more thought of the price that was paid to get ourselves cleansed. He did all the work. We did nothing. And somehow today we still think that he needs to do all the work and we still have to do nothing. Shame on me. Shame on me. So enjoying Leviticus. Not good luck. Thank you, Father, for Leviticus. And he shall look at the plague and see if the plague is on the walls of the house with sunken places, greenish or reddish, which appear to be deep in the wall. It's about to manifest itself. It's in the house. It's deep in the wall. It's about to pop out. Then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the seventh day and look and see if the plague was spread on the walls of the house. Then the priest shall command, and they shall remove the stones with the plague in them. And they shall throw them outside the city into an unclean place. Remove the stones. That's exactly what he wants to do in our life. Remove some stones. Some stones that's in our heart. Our potter puts us on the wheel for a reason. He works this thing. He works this clay. He feels when you got a bump. He feels when you got something that shouldn't be there that's there. He wants to remove those stones. So what he says, remove the stone with the plague in them. Notice he's not just taking the stone out or just the plague out. He's taking the stone with the plague in it. He's removing it all. All of it. While he lets the house be scraped inside all around. Listen, scraped inside all around. You ever had a scrape? You ever rubbed up on something and you scraped yourself? They don't feel too good. Well, let me tell you, when he's scraping on the inside, it shouldn't feel good. When you're sitting in Torah teachings and this is dealing with you, it shouldn't feel good. You should feel a little burning, a little uncomfortable. That's what the Torah does for you. Why? Because it's cleansing you. It's preparing you. It's preparing us for that one Passover that he's going to show up. We don't know which one, but we're looking forward to everyone with joy in our heart. Listen, scraping that inside. All around, and the dust that they scrape off, they shall pour out in an unclean place outside the city. Notice where he's taking everything. Outside the city. He don't even want it in the city. We shouldn't even want it in our community. Outside the city. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones and take other mortar and plaster the house. He's going to take all the junk that we put in. There he goes working. He's doing all the work, taking it all out, taking all the nastiness out. Then he's going to plaster it with his Torah. He's going to plaster it with his word. How incredible is that? Let me scrape all that junk that you done poured into your life. Spiritually, physically. Let me scrape all that out. Who's okay with that? Who's okay with letting him scrape all that out that you did, that we did, that I did, and let him plaster it with this? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I need that. And you remember, sanctification is for how long? Forever. Forever. And if the plague comes back and breaks out in the house after he has removed the stones, after he has scraped the house, and after it is plastered, and if the plague comes back, anybody has some plague come back after he then removed it? Absolutely. After he then removed it, I allow it back. Nobody else's fault. I did. I allowed the plague back in my house. spiritually. Then the priest shall come back. Here comes Yeshua. And look and see if the plague has spread in the house. It is an active leprosy in the house. It is unclean. And he shall break down the house. He shall break down the house. Now he's breaking it down. You know what breakdown? You know what I think of when I see breakdown? When he's going to break down the house after I done let it back in? He's about to do life changing. He's about to do life changing when he breaks down the house. It's stones, it's timber, and all the plaster of the house. And he shall bring them outside the city to an unclean place. And he who goes into the house all the days while it is shut up becomes unclean until evening. And he who lies down in the house has to wash his garments, and he who eats in the house has to wash his garments. However, if the priest indeed comes in and looks at it and sees that the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And to cleanse the house, he shall take two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop, and he shall slay one of the birds in the earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the live bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water and shall sprinkle the house seven times. He shall thus cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and the running water and the live bird and with the cedar wood, and with the hyssop, and with the scarlet. And he shall let the live bird loose outside the city in the open field, and shall make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the Torah for an infection of leprosy and eruption. This is the Torah of the infection of for an infection of leprosy and eruption. Notice the detail, though. I mean, he pointed this out over and over and over again last night. Notice the detail. But yet we want to serve him with our ideas. No, he has his own ideas. He don't need ours. He's got his own commands. He don't need ours. He don't need our thoughts on how we should be, how we need to cleanse ourselves. And for leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a swelling and for a scab, for a bright spot, to teach when it is clean and when it's unclean and when it is clean. This is the Torah of leprosy. I just wanted to read that because I was reading it this morning. I tell you how he get it here first. Don't let it get here. He's telling you, bring this to the priest so where I can cleanse your house. And if it comes back, then I'm going to tear it down. Listen, we need some tearing down. We need him to rebuild. After he done scraped and plastered, and then we allowed it back in our house again and again and again. And how many times he's got to go sprinkle his blood? How many times is he going to do it for us? I always think about, when is it going to be enough? When is it going to be enough? When he's going to say, I'm done. Or I'm finished. I'm tired of plastering the house. I'm tired of rebuilding. And you do nothing. You're doing something. You're just allowing it to come back in. That's what we're doing. We're allowing it to come back in. He'll fix it. Yeshua will fix it. We gotta make our mind up somehow. That we're tired of him always having to fix it. And we'll take a stand and hold ourselves accountable for our actions. But he's so good to us. He's so good to us time and time again. Go before the priest. I can boldly go before the priest. Before the throne. With him. This is where we stopped last night. Verse 3. And the priest shall go out of the camp. Yeshua went outside of the city, and in the process was able to bring healing to us. Yeshua went outside of the city to bring healing for me and you. To bring healing for us. He was the pigeon. He was the dove. He was the lamb. Every sacrifice that is mentioned in the Torah, Yeshua was every single one. Every single one. And for that, we should be so grateful every single day. Because listen, we fall short often. So often. In many ways. Even the little ones that we just bypass over. We're so quick to point out the big, big, big sins. And I mentioned that last Shabbat. There's not no big, big, big sin. Sin is sin. I don't care how you look at it. It ain't a scale from 1 to 10. It's sin. He brings healing for us. As he was sent from heaven and also went out of the camp. For in our sin we were not able to enter in. But now that the priest has come out and inspected us, we are able to receive the necessary cleansing and enter in with boldness by the blood of Messiah. We are able to receive the necessary cleansing. In verse 4, we see the components used in cleansing, in the cleansing process. And there are two live and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. The cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop are used in the sanctifying of the red heifer, which was the only way the high priest could be sanctified in order to begin making others set apart. Numbers 19:6. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and throw them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. The cedar. In Hebrew, this is the word eretz, Strong's H730. In Tehillah Psalms 92, David tells us that the righteous will grow like the cedars of Lebanon. It is a strong and firm tree, and a cedar tree is in itself a wonderful illustration of bringing us a picture of a person who is tov, good, and fully functional in Messiah. They have been known to grow up to 12 meters in circumference. 12 meters in circumference. And listen, that Psalms 92, I'm going to read it. But I want to read this next slide. It says, the roots grow down extremely deep and wrap around rocks for anchorage and grow towards upwards in height for up to 45 meters. Notice what it attaches itself to, though. It attaches itself to the rock. I want to read this Psalms 92. I'm going to read it out of our Bible, but I just want to read it out of this. I ordered this Bible, this One New Man Bible. It's revealing Jewish roots and power. It's a really good Bible. It has all of the Torah portions in it. It labels them, you know. But I want to read just this first verse. It has one extra verse in this Bible. Should have marked it. I had it earlier. Because I just want to read this first verse because it just stuck out to me. So verse 1 of this one, it says, a psalm for the Sabbath. A psalm for the Sabbath. Now let me read it in our Bible. The one we use. Because I want to show you who we got to, how it says that the lavin has to latch itself to the rock. Let's read Psalm 91. Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to Yehovah, a psalm for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to Yehovah and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving commitment in the morning and your trustworthiness each night, on 10 strings and on the harp, to the sounding chords of the lyre. For you have made me rejoice with your work. For you have made me rejoice with your work. Listen. He sent Yeshua to become this ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us. So I want to rejoice for his work, what he did for me. I shout for joy at the works of your hands. I shout for joy at the works of your hands. Let that lion out. O Yehovah, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know. What he calls us? Senseless. And a fool does not understand this. When the wrong springs up like grass and all the workers of wickedness blossom, it is for them to be destroyed forever. But you, O Yehovah, are on high forever. For look, your enemies, O Yehovah, for look, your enemies do perish. All the workers of wickedness are scattered. But you lift up my horn like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. And my eyes look upon my enemies. My ears hear the evildoers who rise up against me. Listen, you hear the chatters. You see them. You hear them. But what he says? The righteous one flourishes like a palm tree. He grows like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of Yehovah flourish in the courts of our Elohim. Listen, we got to get planted. Why? Because let's keep reading, because this is the verse I wanted to get to. They still bear fruit in old age. I can't wait to get old. People talking about, man, I don't want to get old. I want to get old. Look what the scripture says. Because I will bear fruit in old age. They are fresh and green to declare that Yehovah is straight. My rock. What did Lebanon, what did tree roots get down and grab onto? The rock. We got to grab onto our rock. My rock. And in him is no unrighteousness. How powerful is that? Listen, we are a Lebanon tree. A Lebanon, he calls us, you're a tree. We gotta let our roots get down to that rock and grab onto it. Ooh, so powerful. It says extremely deep and wrap around rocks for anchorage and grow upwards in heights for up to 45 meters. Listen, you want to grow? You want to grow in height? You want to grow spiritually, physically, mentally in him? You wrap onto that rock. You let your roots go down deep, deep, deep and grab it. Listen, it takes work. It's not just sometimes two, 3 foot below the surface. No, you got to dig. You got to dig. It's okay. It's okay to get a little sweaty. It's okay if you get blisters on the hands. We get blisters on the hands for a lot of other things. It's okay to get your knees dirty, scraped up. Get down there and grab that rock. Why? Because you're going to get old and you still want to be fruitful. I do anyway. The fragrance of a cedar tree acts as a great defense of being attacked by insects and pests. And it is not free and rot resistant. You want to be that tree? You better believe I want to be that tree. Why? Because every time the enemy is going to try to attack me, I got that scent on me that's going to protect me. And I ain't talking about my cologne either. I ain't talking about that. Not free, rot resistant. Known from their longevity and are perennial evergreen tree. Perennial means forever green, all seasons. You're just green. You don't wither up. You don't fade away. You're forever green. The more fiery darts that the enemy throw at you, you're forever green. Because you're not brown in certain seasons. You're always green. You're always green no matter what's going on in your life. You're green. No matter what circumstances, you're not fading up. You're green. He's throwing his darts at you. It can't touch you. It can't burn you up. When you're brown, set you on fire like that. Quick. I know I learned that the hard way when I was little. I don't play with them no more like that. I know when something's brown, you don't throw a match because it takes very fast. Listen, that's why it says watch your tongue, watch your evil speech. Because listen, let me tell you, you might be in a midst of a brother or a sister that might not be so green as you that day. They might be feeling a little brown, a little faded, a little withered. And there you go with your mouth. You want to spit out your word. And there go your fiery dart. Not the fiery dart of the enemy. Your fiery dart. And you done burnt them up. Burn. I can say burnt. She's not in there. You done burned them up with your fiery dart. Don't you tell them me neither, son. Mama's boy. Cedar, as we know, is used in scripture for the process of the cleaning of a leper. It is used in the red heifer sacrifice. Shlomo used cedar wood to build the temple. The cedar speaks of us being strong and trustworthy. Listen, you want some cedar, brothers and sisters, with you. Because you want to be strong and trustworthy. They want to know that you got their back. They want to know that they can trust you. They want to know when they're weak, you are strong for them. In Messiah, and being the fragrance of Messiah, which to some will be debt and to others life. It also speaks of trusting in Yehovah and obeying the command of Yeshua Messiah to not worry. Obeying the command of Yeshua Messiah to not worry. Why he's telling you to not worry? Because I paid it all for you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about bringing this sacrifice or bringing that sacrifice. I did it all for you. Go show yourself to the priest. Present yourself to the priest. The cedar also represents for us a storing up treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. Listen, they ain't gonna have no flowers fading in heaven. Store up moth and rust. There's none of that up in there. You're forever green. What a promise. Eternal life, forever green, when he returns. And so, as we do the good works prepared in advance for us, we repel the need to store up the fleshly desires. You got to repel the need to store up fleshly desires. You got to repel that. And how you do it? Right here. Put this on. Put this fragrance on. And you repel the need to store up fleshly desires. But the flesh don't want that. The enemy doesn't want that. That are like pests and cast rot and cause rot. That's what the flesh desires. That's what it does. It's like a pest and it causes you to rot. The hyssop. The use of the hyssop plant was a prophetic picture of the impaling of Messiah and the application of his blood upon our heart. John 19:29-30. A bowl of sour wine stood there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and held it to his mouth. So when Yeshua took the sour wine, he said, "It has been accomplished." The last thing he accomplished was that sour wine. Tasting that sour wine. Because he said, "It has been accomplished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Dawid also used the term hyssop as a picture of cleansing and forgiveness by the blood of Messiah. Psalms 51:7. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I am clean. Wash me, and I am whiter than snow. This was after his house got plagued. Because he didn't deal with it right then and there when he felt it stirring up inside him. He let the fleshly desires, what he's seen with his eyes, take over his spiritual house. He let the fleshly desires of what he's seen with his eyes take over the spiritual house. That's why it's so important of what you actually are watching, looking at, what you're taking in with these bad boys. You say, "Well, that don't happen. That can't happen to me." Yes, it can happen to you. Not only can it, it will. It will happen to you if you let it. It'll get in that house of yours and it'll flip it upside down. It'll rot it out. The two doorposts that were to be struck with the blood using hyssop can also represent the two houses of Israel, Yehuda and Israel, Ephraim, being brought together by the blood of the Lamb, our Messiah. Being brought together by the blood of the Lamb, by our Messiah. Think about it. Leviticus gives you so much more deeper, so much more appreciation. Especially after last night and tonight. This Torah portion gives you so much more appreciation. The last two, three Torah portions, really. Of what he did. Of what he actually did. To the great detail. Think about it. The great detail of you had to do to be cleansed. He did it. Exodus 12:22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And you, none of you, shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Without the applying of the blood of Messiah in our lives, we have no cleansing and forgiveness. Without the blood of the applying, without the applying the blood of Messiah on our doorposts and our lintel, we are not forgiven. Don't think that we can come to him any other kind of way without applying that blood first. On your house. Just like I read those scriptures. Your house. Put it on it. And this is a picture of hyssop. The hyssop These are some of the words I was Googling to try to help me pronounce it, just to warn y'all. A hyssop, a woody Eurasian plant. Hyssopus, officinalis, having spikes of small blue flowers and aromatic leaves, used in perfumery and as a condiment. The Hebrew word for hyssop is ezob, Strong's H231, and was used for sprinkling in some of the sacrifices and purifications of the Israelites. In consequence of its detergent qualities, or from its being associated with the purifactory services, Dawid makes use of the expression, "Purge me with ezob." Psalms 51:7. It is described in 1 Kings 4:33 as growing on or near walls. Besides being thus fit for sprinkling, having cleansing properties, and growing on walls, the true hyssop should be a plant common to Mizraim, Sinai, and Yisrael, and capable of producing a stick 3 or 4 feet long, since on a stalk of hyssop the sponge of vinegar was held up to the Messiah on a stake. John 19:29, and a bowl of sour wine stood there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and held it to his mouth. The scarlet. The Hebrew word for scarlet is toloath, Strong's H8439, which means worm. This scarlet, red color, is believed by some to have came from the crushed body of an insect, a worm, that attaches itself to a tree, lay eggs on it, puts a sack of red juice around the eggs to protect them, then dies, having emptied itself out for them, a wonderful picture of Yeshua Messiah. How he was crushed, and how the red juice, his blood, to protect us. Notice, they had to take the hyssop and put it on the doorposts of the house, the two doorposts and the lintel, in order for them to be protected. Because if they didn't do it, that death angel was right there ready, going throughout the whole town and was killing every firstborn. Every firstborn. In animal and human. But in order for them to be protected, they had to put take the hyssop and put the blood. Listen, you want to be protected? You better take the hyssop and put it on the doorpost of your house and on the lintel. If you want to be protected. Not only you, your children. Your children's children. So much bigger than just you and me. You want them protected also, not just yourself. Wonderful picture of Yeshua. The insect, the Coccus ilix, is related to the cochineal insect and found on the twigs and branches of evergreen oaks in southern Europe and North Africa. They belong to the family of insects known as the coccid or scale insects. When the female of the species is ready to lay eggs, she attaches her body firmly to the tree. The eggs are laid beneath her body, and following the egg laying, the insect dies. Thus, the eggs are protected by the insect's body until the larvae are hatched. It was from the dead bodies of these insects that the scarlet dyes used in ancient times were extracted. Scarlet speaks of sacrifice and typifies Messiah in his sufferings and his giving of himself to be crushed for our iniquities. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love as Messiah also has loved us. And he gave himself for us a gift and an offering to Elohim for a sweet smelling fragrance. Walk in love even as Messiah has also loved us. Think about it. You don't know what they did to me, or you don't know what they said about me. Walk in love. You're right. We might not know what they said or did to you. But does that matter? Not according to Yehovah. He says, walk in love as Messiah walked in love. Because you know what they said and did to him. You read it. They're not doing nowhere near what they did to him. And he still walked in love. And while scarlet typically refers to blood, atonement, and sacrifice, we also note how the harlot whore of Babylon rides on a scarlet beast. They mimicking. Listen. And is dressed in purple and scarlet, causing many to become drunk on her adulteries and twisted counterfeit teachings. We are to be on guard against false messages and be able to rightly divide the truth. As the enemy certainly tries to mimic the truth and causes many to fall for her falsehood. And listen, the enemy is doing a very good job at doing it too. Because many, many are buying the false messages. By the thousands. Think about it, thousands. But we got to rightly divide the word of truth. How you do that? By his Torah. By staying in his Torah. By letting your roots get down and wrap onto that rock. Rightly divide the word of truth. Listen, when you're in the truth, it don't matter how loud and how long they tell you to lie, you're not going to fall for it. When you know the truth, you know when something is not real, if you know the truth. It's just like when you buy these old fancy purses. You know the real one compared to the fake one. You know which one is the real McCoy, the real deal. Listen, you know which Messiah is the real one, the real deal. There ain't many ways to Yehovah. There's one. He's the real deal. He's the ultimate sacrifice. And for some teacher to get up there and say there's many ways to the Father, man, is he off. He ain't down to the bedrock. He ain't latched on to the rock. I don't know what Bible he's reading out of, because this whole Bible tells me there's only one way to him. One, not many. And it's Messiah, the real one. But we ought to be on guard against that. We ought to be on guard for false messages. Why? Because someone's life depends upon it. Some family member, some friend, some kid, some kids, yours, whether it's yours or your grandbabies, their life depends on it. They might not be sitting here with you getting the truth, but they can be sitting somewhere else and getting this false message and don't have a clue. But that's why we got to be able to be right. That's why it's so important that we get this. We get it. We have to get it. We have to get this. That way we can share the truth with them. Be able to let them know that what they're listening to is nonsense. And be okay to tell them that. Be okay to tell them that that's nonsense what you're listening to. Let me show you the truth. Let me rightly divide it for you. With you. The Hebrew root word for cleansing of the leper, as mentioned earlier, is tahar, Strong's H2891, and carries at its roots meaning that we have that we have described. And in summary, we take clear note that there is only one who can cleanse us. One. There's only one who paid the ultimate price. There's only one who is the red heifer. There's only one who is the lamb, spotless, without blemish. There's only one who is the dove. There's only one who is the pigeon. And that is Messiah. And so as we come before him and confess our sins to him, show ourselves to the priest. Show ourselves to the priest, our head and high priest. Then he lifts us up and delivers and cleanses us from our sin and dirt. What we can see, what we can also see being pictured in this root word is the fact that the blood of Messiah is for all. The blood of Messiah is for all. Those that believe like you believe, and those that might not, that don't believe like you believe, and those that have no belief at all, he still died for them too. The clay basket can, in essence, represents the whole basket, meaning the entire body or community. And an ephah basket would carry 10 omers. And typically, as we have seen in Scripture, that an omer represents an individual, and 10 represents a quorum or whole. And therefore, an ephah basket speaks of the whole house of Israel. And it is by the blood of Messiah that all who were once far off are now brought near and grafted into the covenants of promise by the blood of Messiah. All who were once far off. We were once far off. Far off. There is no other blood that cleanses, only by the blood of the Lamb, Yeshua Messiah. The only blood that cleanses. Verse 5, bird killed over running water. The Hebrew word that is translated as running is hayim, which means life flowing, comes from the root word chayi, Strong's H2416, which means alive, living, fresh, running, renewed, living thing. As a verb, this root appears in three stems in Hebrew. The call tense conveys the basic meaning to live or have life, whereas the two derived stems overlap in their meaning of giving or restoring life. How many know Yeshua gave and restored life? He gave us life and he restored it. One of the meanings of the word hayim is endless life. We don't have that yet, but we will. We will have endless life. One Passover, when he returns, we will have endless life. That's a promise. And so the great picture or foreshadowing of the work of Messiah that we see in this procedure of killing the one bird in an earthen vessel over running water is a clear representation of Yeshua Messiah, whose blood was shed in an earthen vessel, that being his mortal body. As the Word became flesh, and over running water pictures for us the purification cleansing of the house of Israel and the endless life that he has come to give us. Abundant eternal life by the washing of the Word who died for us. By the washing of the Word who died for us. You think that we need to give him glory and honor every single day of our life? Listen, it shouldn't even have to be a thought if I should thank him today or if I should give him praise today. Those things should just be automatic. Automatic. Hopefully after Leviticus, I'm talking about, I can't wait. We're just in chapter 15. We got 12 more chapters to go. I think they got 27, if I'm not mistaken, in Leviticus. I think 27. After this Torah portion of the whole Torah of Leviticus, it's going to be automatic. I'm not going to say it should be. I'm speaking prophetically in your life. It's going to be. It's going to be automatic. You ain't going to wake up with I don't know if I should, if I shouldn't. No, it's going to be automatic. You're going to want to give him praise. As soon as your eyes open, you're going to want to thank him for what he did for you. The price he paid for you to have eternal life. Endless life that's coming. It's coming. We just got to wait for it. Be patient. Be patient. Wait for it because it's coming. Endless life is coming. Evergreen. Evergreen. What we must guard against is the looking into the letter of the Torah. Only. As we must recognize that the Torah without Messiah contains no life. The Torah without Messiah contains no life. If you're going around saying, oh, I'm a Torah keeper, and you're not doing what Messiah did, you contain no life. You can be a Torah keeper all you want, but if you're not doing what he did with the Torah keeping, you ain't forever green. You have no life. Have to do both. What that mean? You walk just like he walked. You talk like he talked. You act like he act. You eat what he ate. You worship when he, like he worshiped. On the days he worshiped. You keep his feast days, his holidays that he kept. You be obedient like he was obedient. Yeah, all that. Not just throw my zits on and go on my merry way and think I'm doing something. But it is only in Messiah that the true life of the Torah becomes something that can and does sustain you. Psalms 36:9. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. In his light, we see light. In the light of Messiah. The Hebrew word that is translated as fountain is mahor, Strong's H4726, which means a spring or fountain, and comes from the root verb kor, Strong's H6979, which means to dig. You got to dig. And we know that we are to dig and seek out his kingdom and his righteousness. We got to dig to seek out the truth. How many seen that in the past years since our transformation? We had to dig to get to the truth. We just thought we had the truth. We thought we had it. But we seen, when we started doing Torah, that it takes work. You got to dig to get it. And we know that we are to dig and seek out his kingdom and his righteousness. The question is whether people have found the true well of life and are actually sitting and learning at it, or is it a muddy counterfeit that they have found? With Yehovah is the fountain of life. With Yehovah is the fountain of life. Psalm 68:6. Bless Elohim in the assemblies, Yehovah from the fountain of Yisrael. Bless Elohim in the assemblies. When we come to the fountain of life and gather when we should, as an obedient flock who knows his voice, then that water of life becomes a fountain in us as our lives are changed and our speech is renewed, enabling us to bring life and healing to the nations. Your speech get renewed and you're able to bring life to the nations. You'll be able to bring life to your surrounding areas. Your friends and your family, you're able to bring life to them. That's why we got to rightly divide the truth. We. It's on us. We said this many times. It is our time. It is our time. And what are we going to do with it? Are we going to get our speech renewed? It's time to bring life. Proverbs 10 and 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wrong. What are we dealing with in Leviticus? Our speech. What we say, how we say it. The mouth of righteous is a fountain of life. Listen, this mouth either going to bring life or it's going to bring death. It's up to you. It's a choice that we got to make. It's a choice. Proverbs 13:14. The Torah of the wise is a fountain of life, turning one away from the snares of death. What turns you away from the snares of the debt? The Torah. The Torah. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of Yehovah is a fountain of life, to turn away from the snares of death. Proverbs 16:22. Understanding is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly. Somebody says, Father, help my understanding. Help my understanding. Why? Because it is a fountain of life. Because if I have understanding of this, when I share it with someone, it brings fountain of life to them. I have to be able to understand this before I can go speak it. You ever spoke when you ain't have understanding of it? It brings confusion. It brings chaos. But when you got understanding of it, you're not afraid to talk about it. That lion inside of you is ready to talk about it when you have an understanding of it. Our master and Elohim, Yeshua Messiah, is the living Torah, or rather the living embodiment of the Torah. And he is our source of life, or rather he is the life of the Torah. Yeshua Messiah is the life of the Torah. He's the life of the party. You ever had somebody say that? You know, when you had that one friend that just everybody loves to be around, he's the life of the party. Well, I love being around the Messiah because he is the life of the party. He is the life of the Torah. And when we drink of him, the fountain of life begins to flow out of us. And as we gain understanding and walk in the fear of Yehovah by walking in the Torah, and our speech becomes a flowing source of life. When you're walking in the Torah, your speech will become a flowing source of life. In the ancient pictographic symbols of this word, we are giving a greater insight in understanding how Yeshua Messiah is the life. The word kahe, Strong's H2416, in the ancient pictograph script is pictured as follows. The het. The ancient script has this letter, which is a tent wall, and carries a meaning of separation, as a tent wall separates two halves of the tent. Or it can also reflect the outside walls that separate the people inside from that which is outside, and so can also symbolize protection and security to those inside, while picturing a cutting off of those who are outside. Hence, this letter can mean established and secure. as well as cut off, separated from. As a tent wall, we are also able to recognize the picture of stones being built up to make a complete wall. The Yod. The ancient script has this letter as which is an arm and a hand, and carries the meaning of work, make, or throw. From the primary functions of the arm and hand, and it also represents worship or giving thanks in the extending of hands as a gesture of this. The work of one's hands is the basic meaning of this letter. From this ancient pictograph lettering of the word for life, Chahi, Strong's H2416, we are clearly able to see how by the work of Messiah, the outstretched arm and hand of Elohim, we as living stones are built up in him as the dwelling place of the living Elohim, and have been separated to serve and worship him in spirit and in truth. These two pictographs can render for us the clear meaning of separated to serve. Listen, we have been created, we have been made in his image, and we have been separated to serve. Separate to serve him in truth, in spirit and in truth, we've been separated to serve. So while emphasis is placed on the afterlife by the mainstream church, what we must realize is that we are to guard our life that we have been given in our Master, right here and now. For Messiah came to give us life abundantly and have no fear of death, for he has conquered death. What matters is how we live and how our lives are to be a living praise to him now. What gives us our ability to be built up as living stones in the Master is our continued obedience to walking in that which is our life, his Torah. His Torah is what gives us our life. But we have to do what? Continually walk in it. We can't decide that we're going to walk in it one day or walk in it 1 month, 1 week, 1 year. And decide that, you know, we don't want to walk in it no more for some reason. No, we got to be rooted and grounded in this. We got to grab hold of this rock. Why? Because it's our life. It's our life now. Deuteronomy 32, 45 through 27. And when Moshe ended speaking all these words to all Yisrael, he said to them, set your heart to all the words which I warn you today, so that you command your children to guard to do all the words of this Torah. Command our children to make sure they're doing all the words of this Torah. But listen, don't command them if we're not doing it. What that's going to bring to them? Confusion. Listen, Yeshua didn't command us to do it and he not do it. He did it. He lived it. He obeyed all the commands. He's not telling us to do something that he did not do or that he did not accomplish. So don't go around commanding your kids if we're not doing it. Don't go around commanding your kids if you can't make your mind up and you want to show up on Shabbat every single Shabbat. Don't command them to do it that you better do it. You better go. And they're looking at you, well, why you not out the door before me, Dad, Mom? But you commanding us to? For it is not a worthless word for you. Because why? It is your life. The Torah is your life. See how important it is that we keep Torah? Life depends upon it. To me, that's important. Yeshua kept it. Why? Because he knew that the life of every single person in this world depended upon it. Every single life in this world He knew that he had to keep it to the fullest. And we struggling just with ours. Our life. And by this word you prolong your days on the soil, which you pass over the Jordan to possess. Verse 6, the living bird. The priest would then take the live bird. The priest would then take the live bird, the cedar wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them in the blood of the bird that was slain over running water. The two birds, being as identical as possible, would certainly picture for us the two goats that were brought on the Day of Atonement, where one was for Yehovah and the other live goat was sent into the wilderness for Azel, symbolizing the taking away of sin. So now here the live bird would be dipped in the blood with the scarlet dye and hyssop plant. The scarlet was possibly used to permanently color the live bird that would be set free, as the blood of the other bird over time would become darker and possibly even fade, whereas the scarlet dye would permanently mark the live bird, showing that atonement had been made. We also see the picture here that how the blood of bulls and goats could only cover until the real blood of Messiah would come and be shed once for all. His blood never fades. His blood never fades. It's always red. Always forever red. Dark red. No fading in it. And you know what else you can say right here? His blood never fails. Not only does it never fade, it never fails. If he says apply it to the doorposts of your house, the lintels, the doorposts and the lintels, in order for you to have life, it never fails. I'm going to stop right there because I had 5 minutes a little while ago. Brother Scott or Brother Chad, I have verse 7. Pronounced clean. You want to be pronounced clean? You be obedient to the Torah. You live your life exactly how Yeshua tells you to. You be obedient if you want to be pronounced clean. You deal with it instantly when it's in here before it gets out here. Don't let it get out here. You deal with it right here in your house. Spiritually. Because remember, that's what it is. It's a spiritual thing that's going to manifest itself. And he has given us the power to where we can deal with the spiritual things that is in us. Amen? He's so good to us. Let's stand.